Hello, my exciting, fantastic inmates in the asylum. I'm Jay Nemro, and this is quasi-indefatigable Zenilith. I'm a little distracted. You know, I rarely delete an MP3 file, even if it's kind of controversial, and I'm not sure I should do it. I'll usually go ahead and save it and stick it up there, you know. Honestly, I don't know how many people actually listen to these things, and so there it is. Just kind of live with it. I've started talking in this one. The one just prior to this is one that I had deleted, and usually I do it because I messed up in the recording. Sometimes I do it because of content, but most of the time it's just recording snafus, things that I did wrong. So I'm going to have to just throw it away anyway because it's just bad recording. And the last one was, but I'm going to talk about the same subject that I did, hopefully do a little better job. I was going to talk about anti-bias. Now, this is in direct relation. You have to understand, I used to be in the child care field. And the National Association for the Education of Young Children, I used to be a member of it when I was a student in school because I was studying how to run child care centers. And that's kind of the national organization, the biggest one about educating young children. And I think that was really the first time when I started getting kind of my rebellious streak, for lack of a better term for it, and I got to the point to where I started telling people that I couldn't be a member of the association because the association had standards of conduct, and one part of the standards of conduct was the anti-bias curriculum, and I'm sorry, the anti-bias curriculum, I don't agree with it, and therefore it's pointless to talk about it in relationship to being a member of it. No point talking about it. There's parts of it I just can't agree with, so I can't do it. So, and I've had conflicts with people over it, and when I was doing child care training, I used to actually almost be a subversive. You know, we would talk about anti-bias curriculum, and I would express pretty clearly how I felt about such things. And most people would end up agreeing with me. Some people wouldn't, because you know, it's almost our institutional culture telling us that this is the way people should be. And when you say no, you shouldn't be that way. In fact, it's almost silly to even talk about it because it's impossible to be that way. Creates problems, and it has a lot to do with what is acceptable and what's not acceptable in our culture, and our culture is very hypocritical. It's really bad that way, but to be honest, it's hard not to be hypocritical. It's almost like life. We're told not to be hypocrites, but it's really hard not to be because we're not perfect. We're supposed to be striving to be perfect, so we should be less hypocritical over time. But I always favor doing that in favor of being honest, not in favor of being trying to be politically correct, which is really what the anti-bias curriculum is all about, is being politically correct. They just try to put it into terms to where it's supposed to sound right. And on its surface, perhaps it does, but honestly, it really doesn't. It's really bad thing. They have nothing to do with the anti-bias curriculum, and I'll tell you why. Okay, and it has to do with some really basic things that I think are of more general interest than just child care providers. First thing, let's just talk about bias in the first place. Let's give a good definition for bias. Bias in our culture is an evil. Bias is bad, and I'm sorry, bias is neutral. Bias is just something that simply exists, and I'm sorry, everybody has it. It's like when I say that being fair is a bad thing, it goes along kind of along right with that. Bias is considered a bad thing. That's actually just a normal part of life. You have to have bias to be a human being. If you don't, I can't conceive of a person that can't have biases. But I suppose if there were an imaginary person that did, you wouldn't like them. That was totally free of biases. They would never be able to make a decision because they aren't decisive. They can't discriminate against anything. You know, they would be just as likely to do evil as good because they can't be biased. Or they certainly can't tell other people, I think that's wrong, because that implies that there is a right and wrong. Now, there's a certain part of this world, and honestly, I consider it the evil part, that really supports that we should just get rid of all concepts of right and wrong. You know, what I consider to be right and wrong might not be what you consider to be right and wrong. We try to create a society where the two of us can at least live together, and where we won't beat each other's throats trying to kill each other. And that's what this should all be about. It shouldn't be about trying to institutionalize one idea or another as being right or wrong. Anti-bias tends to say that nothing's right or wrong. There's only trying to be respectful of everybody. And that you should fight actively to make sure that everybody has what they want respected. And I'm sorry. Number one, you can't do that. And number two, you shouldn't do that. It's kind of like the fairness. You can't be fair, so you shouldn't kill yourself trying to be fair. There are attributes that are much more important, much more worthy than fairness. And that's the same thing with bias. You can't be unbiased. You can't be anti-biased. So you shouldn't put yourself into a circumstance where you're trying to be that way. The training course where anti-bias came up and where I had the biggest problems were actually sponsored by the state of New Mexico. Now you have to understand that this particular part of the state is governed by a certain faction of belief. These people are very liberal-minded. They think anything goes, and they think that we should always be respectful of other people where anything goes. That we should always say, oh, well, anything goes, and I'm happy that anything goes, and that's good. And not only do I want to say that we can't do this as a government, and I work for the government, and I have a contract to them. The people who are actually developed this thing were also under contract, but it was being put forth by a government agency. And it's really something untenuous, and the government shouldn't have been getting involved in it at all, or even to make a definition, or even to say that. Now, the National Association for the Education of Young Children, this is one of their platforms. This is something that they find very, very important, that they find this to be a principle that is practiced in high-quality child care centers. I disagree. The NAEYC is very much in favor of government-run, institutionalized child care. I learned about halfway through my course of study in doing that I never wanted to be an institutionalized child care center. And I eventually got to the point to where I dismissed it almost completely, and I'm very much in favor of what would be considered home-based child care, where there are 1,000 little choices that you can make, and you can find a person that take care of your child if you really need it. I'm not really in favor of child care, period. I came to that realization, too. I was never going to put my own children in child care because I never intended to ever need it. I haven't. I was always doing it for people who were in that position. I always had a vision that I would take care of single mom's kids, and I would be like a surrogate father for them. And I ended up having to walk away from the whole thing for a variety of reasons. Number one, it wasn't tenable as a way to make enough money for us. I've had to make far more money than those people ever make to support my family, because I've got a family of eight people, and it wasn't going to work out in the first place. Okay, so anyway, let's get back to Annie Bias curriculum. Let me break it up into three different things. Number one, there are people who are biased, and they're quote unquote bad, you know. People who are bigots, people who discriminate against others. These are the people that are usually picked out. Now let me tell you right now, the whole picture and the whole reason why this is put out, this is to destroy white, male, Christian culture. It's kind of anti-WASP, not really anti-biased, anti-WASP. It's made to make sure that kids don't feel badly about who they are or about their beliefs, so we try to sugarcoat everything. We try to make everything so bland. It's not sugarcoating. It's making the whole human experience so bland that it can't offend anybody to the point to where it's unpalatable for everyone. And that's exactly what it is. If we were to like give over child care to government, and it's already starting to happen. The schools are really starting to do child care larger and larger for younger and younger children. And you know, Congress does it a little bit, but mostly the states are starting to reach out and do that. Private child care centers are going to be kind of analogous to private schools. Expensive people with lots of money are going to go to those kind of child care centers. And the poor kids are going to go to the now new, quote-unquote, free preschool child care situation, early enrichment. Call it whatever you want to. They're going to be going there, and they're going to get this kind of styrofoam-type thing. Of course, you know, they'll have all the same problems that schools have. It'll just be that the kids will be even less prepared to deal with it and face it, handle it. So, that's kind of where that's going. But bias is evil. It really is. It's because bias, and it's very hard, is simply the ability to discriminate. And you can choose very, very neutral things that you want to do. Where do you want to eat today? Do you prefer Burger King or someplace else? You know, do you want a fast food place, or do you want a nice sit-down restaurant? Do you want to spend a lot of money? Do you not want to spend a lot of money? It's just called being able to discriminate. And it's all based on your, like I said, preferences. Who do you want to be with? What kind of things do you want your kid to learn? All these other things. Now you have to understand that because of public schooling, there's a whole mindset. It's institutionalized. Remember institution. It's institutionalized into our culture that we all have to learn basically the same thing, and that it's very, very important that we go to one common place and we receive one common experience. I don't understand why that's considered so important. I'm not sure that people can even look at it in that kind of way. You know, it's all based in, well, we're going to make it free so everybody can go, so rich people don't have better education than the poor people do, which is a lie, because rich people don't go to public schools, they go to other schools, or they don't go at all, or whatever. In some way, or honestly, let's be honest, in a public school, rich kids get treated differently. They're disciplined differently. They have different opportunities. Because it's just kind of a social class thing. You know, it isn't like you can all of a sudden make an institution that's going to take away everything. No, it just serves to cast it in concrete, actually. when you go to school, you know immediately who the powerful kids are, the ones that come from the families that have power. And the principal's scared to death of them. The superintendent usually goes out and has drinks with them after school. So, yes, you know, all these wonderful ideas that we come up with, they're twisted and perverted just like everything else. That's what institutions are there for. They're somewhat easy to pervert by the powerful. And that's exactly what the powerful do. And the powerful love institutions, whether they use them or not. Even if they do use them, they are twisted to the powerful end. Oh my gosh, I'm not even going to get down to this because I've got off on so many tangents, as usual. Okay, back to bias. Okay, anytime, you know, and people don't like to take it to that. They say, oh, no, bias is where you treat other people badly because of their skin color. It always comes back to the classic black and white thing, you know, evil white men and their Christian faith foisting it on poor, decrepit black people, slaves, who have been stolen from their country and their culture and have been brought here and made into, you know, our servants and stuff like that. You know, and there's a lot of things to be said for that conflict. Because frankly, I think it's become a big bugaboo lately. Is that a politically incorrect term, bugaboo? Probably. Because that's something that white people used to say about black people. But it is. It's something that's pumped up and made huge when it's really probably quite small. But we keep pumping up, making it huge because there's certain groups that really feed off of that. And it's really important to keep black people really pissed off and liquored up and because the civil rights movement, the leadership of the civil rights movement now really depends upon having a whole group of people that are oppressed, quote unquote. Whether they really are or not, it's a whole other question. But it's important that they have that impression. They're constantly told that they are oppressed so that people will do as they're told by their leaders to help un-oppress them. Okay, so any bias is anti-WASP. Non-bias is supposed to be the wonderful, perfect state. This is how victims are, and whatever it is, Puerto Ricans, blacks, Jews, hey, Mormons, heck, man, I could very well start acting like an oppressed group because people treat me bad. Although the problem is, I'm not in an acceptable minority. I'm not, you know, I don't have, I'm not a part of that big thing. You have to be Hispanic, you have to be black. You know, there's certain groups that get that status of being the officially oppressed, as opposed to just, you know, oh, well, people don't treat you nice. Well, buck up, camper. Come on, pull it together. You're just going to have to live with it. That's just the way life is. You know, most people are given that spiel when black and Hispanic people are given the, oh, you poor souls. Yes, we're going to do whatever we can for you because you're the most oppressed people we've ever seen. And it's mostly the politics of divide and conquer, black people vote Democrat because that's what they always do. It's institutional, and the Democrats give them strokes so that they'll continue voting for them, stuff like that. Anyway, so is that boy? Do I sound like a spouting platitude? I'm not. It's true. All I'm telling you is what's absolutely true. You're not supposed to say it. I know. In decent company, you can't say the least thing bad about a black person or about a Hispanic person or, you know, about any recognized minority. If you're not part of a recognized minority, you can't speak badly of them. Oh, Jews are amazing because they are a recognized minority. But people are encouraged to abuse Jews, you know, because it's a cultural thing. It's what we do. You know, I'm actually of Jewish descent, so not that I have a great understanding of this. I've never considered myself a Jew in the line of being oppressed that way. I haven't been because I'll go to church and synagogue. All right. So, there's non-bias. It doesn't really exist. There isn't some person out there that doesn't discriminate in some way. And that's just the way it's, you know, people say, oh, well, we can train them not to be biased. No, we can train them to walk on eggshells their whole entire life. But the thing is they will only walk on eggshells when it comes to those accredited minority. There's, you know, if a black person says, I'm sorry, that offends me, you immediately have to apologize completely, get down on your knees, beg, allow yourself to be tarred and feathered, and they get to beat you up with no repercussions at all. If you say one bad thing about them, you're crucified for eternity. that's just what we've made up. That's what we've pulled together. Oh, my time is far spent. We're gonna have to get back on anti-bias again, and we'll go on there. Now let's talk about anti-bias because there's a difference. Now this isn't non-bias. If it was non-bias, they would have said non-bias, where you try not to stomp on other people's beliefs, other people's attitudes. Where everybody, you're okay, I'm okay, yada, yada, yada. Anti-bias is where you actually go out and you're encouraged, you have to go out and actively battle against bias. If you see somebody who doesn't like black people, you must actively go out and make them get into situations where they're going to have to respect what black people do. They're going to have to talk like black people. They're going to have to dress like black people. It's important that they have an equivalent experience as a black person does so they can be more understanding, things like that. Anti-bias is really kind of the militant left of bias. They like to think of themselves as the antidote to bigots. You know, people who go out and burn crosses, the anti-bias folks would take that blubbery white guy in a sheet and nail him to that cross while it's burning. That's really what anti-bias do. That sounds nasty. Most people really don't look at it that way. They don't see themselves that way. They see themselves as battling a bad thing called bias. We're going to have to come back and talk about this later to part two of anti-bias. This is Jane Emerald. You're listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Zentalist. I'm Jane Emerald. Have a great day.